All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. Keep listening for actionable tips and tricks to incorporate eco-friendly practices into your daily life.
We've been featured by Apple as the number one podcast for conscious consumers, and we can't wait to welcome you into our community of changemakers. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Laura. We're the founders of Brightly.eco, the new platform for conscious consumers. We believe in supporting all creatures, great and small.
And our team of experts show you how to live and shop responsibly by sharing world-changing lifestyle ideas, products, and more. To read show notes from Good Together and to browse all of the planet-friendly goodness that we feature, head to brightly.eco/podcast.
And to help spread the word about the podcast, tap on this episode and share Good Together with your friends and family. A simple text message helps us grow and create change around the world.
This episode is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles, a company with a punny name but a seriously sustainable mission to make better bedding for everyone.
Sheets and Giggles bedding consists of sustainably made 400 thread count eucalyptus sheets that are static-free, moisture-wicking, use no insecticides or pesticides, and are half the cost of their store-bought competition. Good Together listeners get 15% off at checkout by using the code BRIGHTLY at sheetsgiggles.com. The current pandemic is causing people to rethink their surroundings like never before, and folks are starting to prioritize what their family needs in terms of living situations. For many Americans, this means it's time to move. Usually around 10% of Americans move every year, but according to a study recently conducted by the Pew Research Group, over 20% of Americans, or approximately 1 in 5 people, have either moved because of COVID-19 or they know someone who has moved because of COVID-19. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we all know that moving has an impact on the world. From your carbon footprint, to the waste you generate, to the policies you should advocate for in your new hometown, there are ways to do good by the planet while you move. In this episode, we cover questions like, do I really need all those cardboard boxes? And what should I do about downsizing? I actually just completed a big move myself and asked myself the very same questions. So in this episode, Lisa and I get into it all while it's still extremely fresh. Let's get into it.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Good, good. So today's topic is an interesting one and something that you've personally experienced, like, or still experiencing, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely still experiencing it. So, You know, I recently, you know, with my family, we made the decision to move out to Seattle. So actually, we moved back to it, if you will. So mm-hmm. we used to live in Seattle. One of my first jobs out of school was at Amazon. My husband was stationed up here while he was a submarine officer. So we loved the Pacific Northwest. And then we ended up moving to the Bay Area for quite a few years while we had careers. That's how I met you. Loved it, but realized with COVID, this is going to be something we're talking about in a second, but we had a chance to really be super mindful about our everyday decisions in our life. And we were like, you know what? We love Seattle. What would it look like to go back? And so we kind of put the wheels in motion. We're able to kind of get our living situation figured out. But, you know, because of COVID, people are moving in droves. Like, I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. You know, everyone has at least a friend, right? Who they know that they're moving. I have multiple friends. So today I just want to give a shout out to what's the topic? Sustainable moving, right? It's kind of what is happening right now with moving and people going everywhere, traveling and moving during COVID, but also how can we make it sustainable, right?
Exactly. And these were the questions I started asking myself as I was going through the process. As a former military spouse, when my husband was in the military, we moved a lot then too. And the military took care of most of the details for us. So we didn't really think about it. But nice. I do distinctly remember the amount of waste that was created with each move, because basically the movers would come, they'd pack everything up for us, which from like a lazy girl perspective was amazing. Yeah. But then once we got to the destination, they would come and drop the boxes off. And, you know, we would unpack and we'd literally just be left with these mountains of boxes and just sort of moving waste. So even back then, I started thinking, well, what does this actually mean in terms of the amount of waste I'm generating? Fast forward a few years to now. And, you know, literally, so just to kind of level set with the amount of people moving right now.
Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why we wanted to get into it was because, like you just said, I mean, you know that I moved, you know, a few people that are moving right now. And actually, so typically around 10% of Americans move every year. But according to a study conducted by the Pew Research Group in June, over 20% of Americans, or one in five people, have either moved because of COVID-19 or they know somebody who's moved because of COVID-19. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like you probably know it on the personal level. Like, even before I saw the statistics, you know, I know multiple people who've moved. And my friend was like, there's so many U-Hauls everywhere around the city. You can just see that. So why is this happening? I know there's a lot of complexities and different issues that are contributing to that, not just like COVID, right?
Yeah, there's so many things happening right now. I mean, to the point about the U-Haul, it's so funny. Like, there's areas of the country that like are showing clear migration patterns, like exodus, or there has been an exodus out of larger cities.
Yes.
And in some of those cities, it can be like impossible to find U-Hauls because the U-Hauls are kind of all going one direction, mm-hmm. And they're not getting returned because it's super interesting. Anyway, so one of the reasons why we're seeing this sort of mass movement around the country is because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people have lost their jobs right now.
Yeah, a huge amount, right? Isn't like unemployment higher than ever in like history, like even during the Great Depression? Is that correct?
That's what I've read. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the way they pull those reports can be misleading sometimes, mm-hmm. but we do know that it's a lot of people. And so, you know, in the number continues to climb. There's ways to kind of fudge the numbers, but again, a lot of people. So because people are now faced with their businesses closing, their employers, you know, no longer needing them, et cetera, people need cheaper rent. And so when you think about living in a big city, you're going to expect to pay more. So when you think about, okay, well, I've got to get out of here because I need cheaper rent, or, you know, I've got to move in with my family. And so people are kind of returning back to these suburbs, to the smaller towns where they grew up from, because they've got to move with family. Mm-hmm. So it's necessity. Another reason, of course, and a lot of our Brightly team, you know, some of our interns, actually, I think all of our interns were faced with their colleges just shut down, their universities shut down, and most of them aren't even opening back up until next year. So they're having to move back in with family as well.
That's the reality everyone is facing. And it's very difficult. Like, and again, back in the early days of COVID, I couldn't believe that, you know, colleges wouldn't open until December, but it's very much a reality. Some colleges are opening, but I think it will, everyone is kind of looking how it's going to go. I wouldn't be surprised if the colleges that are opening will reclose again, because again, we just don't know how the situation will play in winter and beyond.
Exactly. And it becomes a risk assessment for every business and college that wants to maintain a situation where a lot of people will be gathering together. You know, oftentimes I'll have folks come in to consult. And, you know, if you've been to a business recently, you'll see those plexiglass screens be put up. And, you know, there's ways to mitigate it. But at the end of the day, most people are going to say, you know what, we're just not going to take the risk. But, you know, continuing on the moving thought here, a lot of people want more space, right? Because we're all at home.
I mean, we're spending like all of our time at home at this point, right?
Exactly. So you might have made a move a few years ago into a big city for a job. Let's go down this path. And, you know, you got an apartment in a great area of the city. You got it's a lot of money, but you were like, you know what? It's going to be worth it because I'm going to be around my friends. I'm going to be close to work. And I'm going to be around all these great restaurants and, you know, attractions. Well, now all of those things don't exist anymore, at least right now, right? Like a lot of friends are moving out. Your job is remote. So there's no reason to be close to the office. And a lot of your favorite restaurants and things to do have closed down. So a lot of people are looking around at this and saying, like, why am I paying so much money to be in a city that is, you know, unfortunately not the city that I originally moved here for? Of course, that's a controversial topic because, you know, there's the school of thought, which is, you know, if you want to be a great citizen and a true, you know, lover of that city, then you're going to stick it out. And that's one way to think about it. But the other way is to also say, you know what, I really value more space. I need a backyard, all these things. So I'm out, right?
Yeah. And you need to make better decisions for your family, ultimately, right? It's whatever is prior to you personally. So let's talk about, you know, the eco-friendly way to move. I know, again, you are still going through this. So you are the expert definitely in this. I have moved recently, kind of almost a year ago. Again, this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like it was just, I feel like you just moved like just a few months ago, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but it will be October in a year. And I've literally moved 2 minutes walking distance from my older place. So I think it was very kind of eco-friendly. And but yeah, let's talk about how to make moving more eco-friendly, because it will be very relevant to a lot of folks these days.
For sure. For sure. So the first thing is one thing that I talked about earlier, which is the packaging and the boxes, et cetera. So, you know, how many boxes do you typically use? Well, statistically, the average house needs about 60 boxes to move. Now, if you live with somebody who has a lot of things, like my husband, we used a lot more boxes than 60. And so what can you do regardless of how many boxes you need to use? That's going to create waste. So a few tips that I have, and I actually went through this process thinking through all the things that I could do. And I'll tell you why I did some things over another. So one thing is, if it's a local move, like you were just talking about, of course, if you're within walking distance, you might not even really need boxes. You could like pick things up and move them.
Exactly. I literally walked with some stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. No, I love it. Yeah. Just like grab your blender and like, walk down. That's amazing. But if you can't do that, then you need boxes. And so if it's a local move, if you are in a, even a mid-sized to larger city, you will probably have somebody that you can rent reusable boxes from. So like big plastic boxes. So some of these companies, I mean, you could literally just say like reusable moving boxes. You know, some of these boxes are made with recycled plastic, which is awesome. But regardless, those reusable boxes are actually meant to be used up to 400 times, which is
crazy. That's awesome.
So that is just probably the best solution. But the issue with that and why I wasn't able to use that method of packing was most of those are for local moves only.
So you have to return it somehow.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So basically you, the ones that I was looking at, you place the order online, they drop them off to your house, you pack everything up, you move. And then when you're ready, you just schedule the pickup time. So they'll come get them from you even. But yeah, if you're moving to another city, I did not find a company that operated on a national level. So, hey,
if someone knows, let us know, you know, email us.
Yeah. Or if you're looking for a new startup idea, hey, right?
Free, you might make free a, idea.
Free idea. Hey, just give us a shout out, right? But yeah, hey, please, somebody make that company thing. That'd be great. Anyway, so most people, because of this, use cardboard boxes. And that's what I was talking about earlier. And so the cardboard boxes that we all know, like the dish packs and the TV boxes, all of those things, you can buy them at U-Haul, Home Depot, etc. Those are designed to be used for about 4 moves. And I think most people don't get that. Like, most people think, I'm moving, I have to go out to U-Haul and buy just like a pallet of boxes. And, you know, they're not crazy expensive, but they do add to your costs. And one of the cool things is, because those things are designed to be used for 4 moves, that doesn't mean that you have to like cram them in your basement for the next time you move. No, what you should do, and what we actually did, was give them away for free on Craigslist, like pass it on. So that's what we did.
Yeah,
we
actually love what you did. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we literally went, we went to Home Depot because we literally started down this path. We were like, okay, let's go buy some freaking boxes. Let's get to it. And then we were like, wait a second, let's look on Craigslist to see who's got them. And there were so many people. And so literally my husband just went out to this lady's house who had just finished a move and got all the boxes we needed for free. And she even threw in packing material, which was awesome. So she did. And, you know, so like I said, most of those boxes can be used for at least 4 moves. And I was interested to find out that according to the Fiber Box Association, which apparently is a thing, it's a cardboard industry group, one of their representatives said that when those boxes have kind of reached the end of their life in terms of the move, they can withstand, the fibers that are created for these boxes can withstand 7 rounds of recycling, which is really cool.
Wow, that's so awesome. Yeah, so that's
durable.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, again, getting stuff for free and reusing other people's stuff, that's the best way to go. Absolutely.
Yeah. Free Craigslist, Facebook swap groups, you know it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about tape and packaging materials.
Yeah, for sure. So one question that I had was, what's up with all this tape? Because if you have a lot of boxes, you have to use a lot of tape. And so I started looking into this, and there's a few things here. So like, number one, you know, whether you're getting a package from an e-commerce company or you're using tape on moving boxes, do you need to remove the tape before you send those cardboard boxes off to the recycling center, like I was just talking about? And so according to one major recycling facility, no, it's actually not usually necessary, which is interesting. So like we just said earlier, when those boxes are, you know, begin to get recycled, they have to be broken down. And so when they break them down, the tape usually gets separated just because of the way, you know, the fibers kind of disintegrate or whatever. That's probably not the right term, but yeah, the way they separate out. So yeah, shouldn't be an issue. That being said, anything you could pull off helps that process. And plastic tape is plastic tape, right? So if you have to use plastic tape, which most of the time you do, that's okay. But paper tape is actually biodegradable. Most of it is, even with the glue on it, which is really interesting. I didn't know that. So if you can use paper tape, hey, try it, right?
That's awesome. Yeah, I think the recycling part, we will do a whole episode about that. I think just like recycling, I feel like it's an area you need to study and get a PhD on to be the perfect recycler. So yeah, just asking, but as you go around, through your life, you know, just asking like this tiny little questions and learning from it. That's very important. Let's get to this more, I think probably the most important topic, and something that's very popular within our community is kind of has to do a little bit with minimalism, right? And like cutting down on what you have, decluttering your life, right? And
absolutely,
of course, whenever you're moving, this is your opportunity to get rid of a lot of stuff that you don't need, don't use, or just, you know, clean stuff out that is no longer good.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, right before I get into that, one other thing I wanted to mention about packing materials really quickly is, don't forget to use paper instead of bubble wrap. Please don't buy the plastic stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like that'll stay around forever. And then, you know, like I said, rent or try and get what you need for free. So moving blankets, don't buy moving blankets. Like, please don't use sheets and towels that you already have in your house. Like, just, you know, keep it all together. Like, try not to acquire new stuff. And that's kind of goes into this next topic, which is, yes, like, in my opinion, I think there's two types of movers, like the moving mindsets, if you will, that you can use when you move. So number one, there's people who pack everything up and then they kind of sort through some stuff once they get there. But they just literally, when it's time to move, you take a box, you do the whole like swipe off a table just into a box, right? You just kind of stuff as much as you can and you move everything. And actually that's what the Navy or like professional movers did for us. We used to laugh because they would literally pack up trash. Like if you had not emptied out your trash cans, they would pack your trash can full of trash, which is wow. Like, crazy. But they did that, I'm sure, so that you couldn't come back later and say, oh, I lost something because of you. So for them, it was a liability reason. But for a lot of other people, it's just easier, right? It is. It's easier to not think about it. What I would like to challenge you to do is to be moving mindset number two, if you find that you're number one, which is try to downsize before or even during the move as yes. you're packing and get rid of a lot of stuff. And I say that meaning let's think about how we can get rid of your stuff responsibly. So yes, some of it's going to have to go to the dump. That's the unfortunate reality. And that's going to be the single use stuff that we talk about all the time on Brightly and on this podcast, which is try not to acquire single use stuff, because when the rubber hits the road, it's going to have to go to the dump a lot of times. And so mm-hmm. be really mindful. You know, it's super easy to grab the big trash bag and just start to shove stuff in it. But be really mindful about like what you're throwing away and think about, how do I stop myself from acquiring this amount of stuff in the beginning? Like, exactly. How do exactly. I do that? Thanks so much for listening. We'll get back to today's episode in just a second, but we wanted to take a break to recognize a few companies that we've partnered with.
Right now, there are thousands of ethical brands out there, which can be confusing and overwhelming. This is why Brightly exists. We are your guide to doing good in the world through conscious consumerism.
We personally vet and try products from every single brand that we partner with, both on our podcast and on our platform, Brightly.eco, so that you don't have to do the research yourself.
Partnerships like this are what helps Brightly and our community grow and increase our impact. Thank you. Laura, you've probably heard me talk all the time about my love for Sheets and Giggles. I've been sleeping on their new sustainable eucalyptus sheets for the past 3 months straight. I recommend them 1,000%. Every week, I wash them and put them back on the bed right away. They're my go-to sheets. All of my other sheets, even the ethical ones, are taking a long break.
After hearing you rave about them for so long, I finally got to try their new eucalyptus comforter. I'm a weirdo. I really like having a comforter on my bed all the time, even in the middle of the summer. And I haven't been waking up hot when I've been using this one from Sheets and Giggles. It's a great ethical and sustainable alternative to the down one we used to use. That's now sitting on our guest bed. Another thing I love about Sheets and Giggles is that they don't use plastic packaging and their materials don't use pesticides. So they're kind to our animal and insect friends.
They also plant a tree for each sheet set that is sold, and they are passionate about giving back. They give 10% off to their customers who donate their old sheets to homeless shelters and have donated over $40,000 to Colorado COVID relief.
That's awesome. Good Together listeners get 15% off at checkout by using the code BRIGHTLY at sheetsgiggles.com.
Yeah, I think moving is always an opportunity to like just think about it and just like it, because you suddenly realize the sheer amount of stuff you have. Yeah. And I don't know if you already mentioned that. We've already mentioned it before about the swap groups, right? Free Craigslist stuff. One man's trash is another man's treasure, right? So always start with your friends from your immediate community and then kind of use all the online resources that more and more out there. Facebook groups.
Get rid of whatever you can responsibly. So yeah, free Craigslist. We use this a ton personally. One challenge I think people have a lot is furniture. A lot of times furniture is bought because it fulfills a really specific need in the house that you're in or the apartment or whatever. And when it's time to move to a new place, you can look at pictures and hopefully like you had a chance to go look at stuff in person, but there's always a few things that you know just aren't going to fit or they're just not going to work well. And so rather than, this is my opinion, rather than moving it, which we'll talk about why it's better to downsize in just a second, but rather than moving it and getting it to its final destination, realizing I don't need this, try and get rid of it before. Reward your friends that help you move. We had a great friend that helped us, and he really wanted some of our furniture and some of our houseplants. Like, unfortunately, some of our houseplants weren't able to make the journey with us. And so we gifted it to him, right? And you would just be so surprised at what some people will be so grateful to get, whereas you have kind of already discarded it in your head. So, get rid of things responsibly, stay organized too. So like when you're putting stuff into boxes, just write down what it is. If it's on the box, it's great. If you need to make like a Google Doc, if you want to be super organized. But like one thing I want people to avoid doing is, forgetting what they have, right? We talk about this in our minimalism episode, but like, don't get rid of things that you know you're going to rebuy. So just because that's easier sometimes, right? If you can, don't do that. And then be organized. Like, don't rebuy stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you're way better than me at this is, preparing for it, right? So like whenever, if you haven't thought it out, the moving process, the haven't organized things, haven't clear things out, if you just start with the process, it is exhausting process. It's a big thing
in life to do,
right? You will just try to do to kind of cut corners, and you will be unsustainable. But most importantly, you just will be wasting money, right?
Exactly.
If you don't take time to prepare. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm like, here's what to do. I do all of these mistakes, but next time I move, I will re-listen to this episode and then I'll do better.
Well, I mean, the thing is, nobody's perfect. Like, I didn't do all this either. Like, I gave myself as much time as I possibly could. So we moved pretty fast just because of timing. I didn't have as much time as I'd usually like to prep, but do it one room per day. If you could do that, that cuts things
That's
down
smart.
Too. So that'll give you more time to like think through and be more thoughtful. Sometimes you don't. Like, we were just mad because I think I packed some of our like important documents into a box that usually we like to like carry with us for like, when you have to establish residency in a new place. I was like, crap, I think I packed the passports, So you're going to make mistakes. Be gentle to yourself, be okay.
Exactly.
But one of the reasons why we wanted to make sure that we cover the getting rid of stuff before you leave is because, moving creates a pretty big carbon footprint that would not have existed if you were going to stay put, right? So that's something that we kind of have to wrestle with and, make the best decision that your family needs, like no judgment there. But when it comes time to move stuff, if you can get rid of more stuff at the beginning, you're not going to have to incur extra gas mileage extra resources created to literally physically move your stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always great to keep in mind the environmental impact in general. Moving itself. There's, of course, most of the time, if you want to save money, you will be doing it yourself, right? The DIY method.
Exactly. Yeah. So we talk about this in our, we did an episode talking about road trips and things like that. But, before you leave, make sure your car's in good shape. So that's for safety reasons, but it's also for eco reasons, right? Like if you've got better, if your tires are pumped full of air, you're going to get better, fuel economy, which is going to increase your MPGs, which is going to make less gas consumption necessary. Now, granted, when you are hauling things in a U-Haul or you've got your car packed down, your fuel efficiency is going to be impacted like death. But just do that. And like we said, if you've cut down the amount of stuff, then hey, it's just easier and better for the environment anyway. The other thing is, make sure as you're moving, most people are, in their car, make sure that you've plotted out good places to support while you're going on your road trip and your move.
Yep.
Granted, it's not going to be a vacation. Like literally I tried this. So here's a story. Literally, we moved from the Bay Area to Seattle, and halfway between is in Oregon. And I thought, let's try and see if we can squeeze in a quick sort of drive by to Crater Lake, because I haven't been to Crater Lake. And granted, that's a little bit more inland, but when I did the calculations, it wasn't going to cost us that much more time. Well, what happens? The day of the move arrives. We used a pod systems to move. So that's kind of like a half DIY, half not. But we packed most of our stuff in a pod. So pod folks get there. It takes a while. We get on the road later. That's how it always works. And we're in the car for 6 hours. I have 3 dogs with me. I was like, and my husband was in a different car. We were doing this, you know, caravan thing. And I was like, yeah, let's not go to Crater Lake. So it's not going to be a vacation. That's the moral of that story. Like, you might try and stop in a fun place, but you're going to be exhausted, right? Like, Lisa knows. I've been exhausted for like a month.
Exactly. Yeah. And what about, you mentioned something about green movers. I don't remember. I believe, incorrect me if I'm wrong, does U-Haul have kind of like a greener like car options? I see it advertised on their truck.
I'm actually not 100% sure. I mean, I think in general, the moving companies have recognized that people want to move in better ways, in more sustainable ways. So I believe some of them are trying to invest in, electric vehicles even, or, letting you haul things in better ways. If you choose to go with a quote unquote green mover, you can do your research there, but there are folks who will use like trucks that run on biodiesel, which is cool. There are moving companies that use those reusable packing materials like we talked about earlier. So there definitely are people who recognize that moving does create a pretty big carbon footprint, collect both individually for families and also collectively. So there's definitely people out there thinking about it. So good news there. But I mean, good news there. Bad news is I couldn't really find anything on a national level. So again, please, somebody make the best green moving company ever.
Yeah. And you can see, I was actually watching just like TV and like, I'm realizing that so many commercials, like regular brands, they're starting, some of it is greenwashing. We just published an article on Brightly. Go check it out on Brightly. They got an article about greenwashing so you can recognize it. But the reason why the brands are starting to use this language, trying to trick us in some cases, some brands, as you've heard in previous episodes we've done with Trista, right? It just launched for us yesterday. You heard that brands are actually big companies, corporations taking huge steps towards sustainability and actually truly making things right. And the reason is because you are asking for it, right? So if you brands and business strategists, they are observing your Google searches, right? So if more and more people are looking for green movers, chances are that the brand, one of the companies will start a green moving initiative, or a company will start a completely sustainable moving company. So, and that's because of you as a consumer who is asking, emailing brands, or just, again, searching on Google. That's
exactly
it makes a real difference.
Exactly. Yeah. Once you move, this was something that you and I were talking about just in general, which is I moved, a lot of people moving, and, the exodus or movement or whatever you want to call it of people from one place to another does also have a social impact. So actually on the negative side of things, I've been reading articles recently, they just come up in my newsfeed, but in areas that are not traditionally used to an influx of permanent or like semi-permanent residents, so a lot of places like the Hamptons, Lake Tahoe, beach areas, those places oftentimes are set up to support summer economies and that's it. And so what happened during COVID was you had a lot of people moving out to these sort of summer areas, not in the summer. So they put a strain on the local economy in terms of the hospitals couldn't handle it.
Oh, yeah.
The grocery stores and things were not used to operating at that capacity. And so some of these small towns have been struggling, to be honest, with this influx. So if you are planning on sort of temporarily relocating, make sure that you're being responsible, that you're not going. I read something specifically in the Hamptons, which this is a Hampton, so that's about all I'm going to say about that. But, there was a lot of the locals were really upset that folks were coming in and like hoarding food. They'd like go into these small groceries that were already at lower capacity and just buying everything up. So that's crappy. So basically, be respectful, right? When you move in, be respectful of your community. Don't be that asshole that gets there and hoards the food, or even worse, like, don't you hate it when you talk to a friend who just moves and all they do is like complain about like how the new place doesn't have X, Y, and Z that the old place did? Like, just no.
Yeah, exactly. You've made this decision and but again, be a good citizen, as you're saying. Guess what? It's your chance to improve this community, right? If you want to have some of the things.
Exactly.
You were talking about, so you have to update your driver's license, right? And all things like that.
Yeah, you do. So when you move to a new state, you have to update your, you know, yeah, your driver's license, your documents and things like that. Use that as the opportunity to register to vote. So
yes,
I actually was a little bit concerned about this because, you know, we are coming up on the election and I was like, you know, it's been a while since I've registered to vote. And so I was like, oh gosh, what's the lead time? But the nice thing is when you go to change your license, there's oftentimes, or even when you go to change your address with USPS, there are little prompts that help you figure out how to change your voting registration. So make sure you do that because nobody wants their ballot, if it ever gets mailed to them, which we're not going to get into that today, but please, fingers crossed for the USPS, nobody wants their ballot to go to the wrong place or not be eligible to vote. So do that because it's super important. And along with that, read up on your new community's politics. Like just start to get involved. Like look at what the mayor is doing. Look at what the city council is doing. Do you agree with those decisions? You know, maybe it's not quite the time when you first move to go in and like run for office, but you can at least start to get familiar and figure out, okay, well, you know, I might need to kind of get involved with stuff.
Yeah, and of course, read up on the eco policies, right? And as I've mentioned, like recycling is one of the topics that we keep going back and back with our community. There's never-ending recycling questions, and Laura and I, we are educating ourselves and along with our community. But it's very important to know the recycling, local recycling and composting rules. And yeah, just be informed because it will be. It is very important that you know these rules and you're doing things correctly because we already mentioned this, I believe, the quote before on our plastics episode, right? Like only 9% of plastic actually that we throw into recycling bins, it actually gets recycled because we don't do it correctly. It's a whole different topic on the recycling episode. There should absolutely be changes in like policies, governmental and local policies to make it more simple for people. I think it is very, very important. It is a lot to ask for us in community to think about like little, like every tiny little thing and expect us to remember the rules. So, and there's has to be a lot of innovation has to happen too before we can, you know, have better systems as well.
Yeah. So figure out when trash day is, figure out when, you know, what the recycling situation is. And if you don't like it, then figure out a way to push for change. Cause I think it makes sense. And, you know, alongside with that, a lot of our listeners are advocacy gurus. They like to volunteer. And so, you know, rather than, you know, I mean, certainly make sure you're still liking your old area things on Facebook and supporting them from afar. But rather than kind of just sitting there and being like, man, I really miss volunteering with my friends at the X, Y, and Z, see what the counterpart is where you've moved to. So like you might have volunteered at your local animal shelter. Well, what's the new one like? Mm-hmm. How much help do they need? And if one doesn't exist, well, I don't think you could start up an animal shelter, but maybe you can. You could start a rescue, I suppose, if you really wanted to. But find the counterpart, get involved there, and maybe use this new time that we all have to figure out ways you can volunteer remotely.
Exactly. Well, I think that's it. I think Laura gave so many ideas. Thank you. And I'm not moving anywhere, at least for now. So we shall see. But
Hey, based on those stats, you know, you might be sooner than you think so. I don't know.
We'll see. Well, thank you so much, Laura. I think it was a fun and a very important episode too, especially today.
Absolutely. And if you move and use any of these tips, just tag us on social, let us know.
Exactly.
You know, we'd love to see it. And yeah, appreciate you guys listening to the podcast.
Bye. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. As always, you can get show notes and explore lots more content related to all things eco-friendly living by checking out brightly.eco/podcast.
And don't forget to join in on the conversation that's happening on our Facebook group. Simply search Good Together Ethical Shopping and it'll come up. You can also leave us a question through voicemail. The link is on brightly.eco/podcast.
If you're into social media, give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and all of the channels. Our username is brightly.eco.
Finally, we want to leave you with a reminder. Every day is a chance for you to create change, and you're already covered for today since you joined us here on the podcast. Stay kind and live brightly.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.